Blog Talk Radio.
Bells will be ringing, this sad, sad news. Oh, what a Christmas to have the blues. My baby's gone.
NFL head coaches today, and also talking top sports news.
Here's Andre Simone, America, and you can call in 714-409-0614 and also come into the chat room, okay? Thank you. Cowboys app. I know many of you have, I don't even have to ask those of you to have apps. I have Dallas Cowboys app and New Orleans Saints app on my phone, you know. And so this is the first time looking at my app as I broadcast, and it's pretty awesome. I'm always relying on other information. But right here in the app, everything you need to know is right on your app. And this is week 15 of the NFL regular season, and it's going to be a big game Sunday, right, between Pittsburgh Steelers and the Dallas Cowboys. Both have 7-6 records, and the game will be played in Arlington at the Cowboys Stadium, and on Sunday will be televised on CBS, Sunday, December the 16th. So sending much love to the Cowboys, and much love to the teammate that's in trouble and also just cannot believe that his best friend has passed away. I seen Jerry Brown Jr.'s mother on the news the other day, and still this morning seeing different, seeing other stories. But it's important for us to realize it's not good to drive intoxicated. But respect to the Cowboys are, you know, they're doing pretty good. They're playing the Pittsburgh Steelers. This is when this little girl and me fell in love with the Cowboys. I've always been a, you know, sports fan. And I fell in love with the Cowboys during their rivalry in the 70s, the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Cowboys. That's when I fell in love with them and doing that rivalry. And so, you know, so just sending much love out because I happen to love the Steelers now also. So, but I had a lot of favorite. Back then when I was a little girl, I had some of my favorite players. And Terry Bradshaw and Lenjo Green and Franco Harris, which Franco Harris has relatives, his roots here in Mississippi. And I hear he has a restaurant in Clinton, Mississippi, also, and that they serve awesome food there. But, you know, wow. Just send a big shout out also to the Saints. We got to talk about the Saints and NFL, period. Also, NBA, shout out to the Knicks. They defeated the Lakers last night, huh? And the, wow. So, you know, in other games, the Bengals were successful last night, beating the Eagles. So, there's so much. We need to talk about Heisman Trophy winner, Johnny Football, which is not Johnny Heisman. And it goes on and on. But, again, thank you. And for many of you, those of you that work with the school systems and students with the public school systems and private in your area, today is your last day, right? I know today is the last day for Jackson Public School and other public schools in the state of Mississippi. So officially it's time for a winter break for many, right? So you're going to enjoy this, I'm quite sure.
Predicament, trying to be a gentleman. She wants me back again.
Oh, I tried so hard
to be as faithful, but I wasn't able. Now it's more painful. Oh, the grass seems green on the other side, and I don't want to see what I have to leave behind. Don't make me choose to be here without you. There's no rules to this.
No rules
when
this.
You fall in a kid, we find that your love can be with more than one. I'm caught in between.
Caught in between.
And hope can be mean. I gotta choose one, but with you it's more fun.
But it's for not that one.
My dreams will get shot down. I'm late to the showdown.
Troubles all around.
Love for the shepherd who left from the shelter to try to find better. Oh, the grass seems green on the other side, and I don't want to see what I have to leave behind. Don't make me choose to be here without you. There's no rules to this.
No rules
when
this.
You fall in a kid, we find that true love can be with more than one. I'm caught in between.
Caught in between.
Both can be mean. I gotta choose one, but with you it's more fun.
But it's for not that one.
Yeah.
But it's for not that one.
Yeah.
But it's for not.
5 minutes sitting down working at my brain. I'm at school, but man, I know that it's lame. But I'm trying to graduate and do something with my life. Go to college, start a family, so get all my hype, yeah. And I'ma get an A+. Swag on the one, I ain't trying to ride the bus. Walk the stage with my peers, David Killen, see a year. Afterwards, celebrate, party, roll some way. Late to the party, cause the name is David J. You want my schedule for the nickname Trey. Polo wearing Dockers every day. That means I get that cash. Put all the teachers in the past and tell the haters kiss my ass. That bill, but I'm trying to graduate and get my paycheck. So school's the answer, they'll break my neck. Yo, life's a killer, but I gotta live it. So in order to live it, David J gotta kill it. Time to get to business, gotta test tomorrow. Fast class, trying to pass with the lead, no follow. Beat sounding alien. I'm like, I speak the English, no complaint, they Canadian. Red dot on my forehead, but I ain't Indian. Disregard administration, cooked up the bacon, yo. Essay in my English class. Like I said before, I'm trying to finish first, no less. All the nasty conversations giving my mind a rest. 8 o'clock p.m., I do my homework, gonna crash.
Austin Brown, Menage a Trois, and then that's my favorite teen sensation, 17-year-old David J. Oh, yeah, school, which today is the last day of school for many of you. So happy holidays and Merry Christmas to you and yours. Here's L. DeMar Jr. Good thing.
Coast to Coast Mixtapes.com.
Coast to Coast, what up? EP picks up.
Hey, King Mo, what it do?
Baby, I got that good thing. I know I'm gonna see you again.
I've
been sitting on your brain. Probably never got your man. Oh man, I got that good thing. I know I'm gonna see you again. Yeah, sitting on your brain. Never get your man. Oh man,
work it out for me. Make the booty pop. Keep the blood flowing. Baby, keep me rock. I pay the water bill so I can keep it dripping. Back to slow leak, you know that pop is sipping. And we ain't tripping off of weight, stay in shape. Just lifting up my baby in the cake. See her face look shocked when I hit it with the cock. No doodle. She a bad bitch, take it for a walk. No doodle, man. Far from a slut, baby, she a freak though. Step up to the line, all net, wet, free throw. Body by design, I'm just looking for a freak show. Take your time, I ain't rushing to the peak, no. Pleasing your body, treating every part equal. Want some more, bring that good back like a sequel. Yeah, baby, you looking right in that sequel. I bet I know just how to treat you.
Baby, I got that good thing. I know I'm gonna see you again. Yeah, I've been sitting on your brain. Probably never got your man, your man, your man.
Work it out for me. We on the block in the shop. OG got to work with the top. Young homies keeping watch like the ex-girl squat. So you know we seeing everything. I'm in that Benzo with that black paint and that wood grain. Girls can't just ride me like a rental man. First and last is taken, I'm using my middle name. But only for the fame. Cause I ain't riding man. Close name, kissing man. Ass where you been, took it, niggas man. Took it, wide blast. Giving up career to free the cash. Got your fans asking why you ain't flowing like the past. Trey and the CD both covered in ash.
That was L. DeVos Jr. Oh, yeah. Be right here tomorrow night, 9 p.m. Central Standard Time. Do not miss it. Call in, chat, everything, because we're going to have a blast of a good time. Like You and Hold Me Down a lot here, And so they're doing their thing on the Heart Rock charts with ReverbNation.com in Dallas, Texas. So those are two that are in the studio. And many others that I network with and speak with are working on new material also. So it's an ongoing process of writing and performing and doing isolated dates and deciding to go on full-fledged tours and so on. So we're doing our thing, doing our best to network properly and keep everyone updated regarding what's going on, okay? So looking forward to some awesome, awesome talks, interviews in the very, very near future. And also True God Immortal, his team Dar, they have new music out also. I've been circulating the video, but True God Immortal said he will get the new music to me real quick so I can add it to the playlist. So super, super excited. So today's your birthday, huh? You're a December baby. You're a Christmas baby. You are not alone. You share a birthday with actress Vanessa Hudgens, High School Musical actress. She's turning 24 today. Oh, I remember the age 24. Unbelievable. 20 years ago was a wonderful time. Patty Duke, actress, 66. Michael Ovitz, former Walt Disney, Company president, 66. Stan Smith, tennis Hall of Famer, 66. Craig Biggio, baseball player, 47. Natasha Melhone, actress, Californication, 43. Patty Snyder, tennis player, 34. Actress Katie Strickland, private practice, is 37 today. And also in history, and this is courtesy of AP and Dallas Morning News, on December 14, 1799, George Washington, the first president of the U.S., died at Mount Vernon, Virginia, home at Mount Vernon, Virginia, home at age 67. And in 1819, the neighboring state to Mississippi, Alabama, joined the Union as the 22nd state. In 1861, Prince Albert, husband of Britain's Queen Victoria, died in London. 1911, Norwegian explorer Roald Amundsen became the first man to reach the South Pole. 1946, the United Nations General Assembly voted to establish the UN headquarters in New York City. And the album, London Calling, oh, my God, I love this. Oh, my God, it's really just like taking me flashback to my preteen years, my preteen years, because The Clash, London Calling, that album was so hot for so many years. And that was when MTV was born, The Clash music was everywhere. 1979, the album London Calling by The Clash was released. 1981, Israel annexed the Golan Heights. A cease from Syria in 1967. 1985, Wilma Mankiller became the first woman to lead a major American Indian tribe, and she took office as principal chief of the Cherokee Nation of Oklahoma. I'm of mixed heritage, which many of us are, but I do not deny my mixed heritage of American Indian and Caucasian, and of course black African American. I'm American. 1993, a Colorado judge struck down as unconstitutional the state's voter-approved ban on gay rights laws. In 2000, the Federal Trade Commission unanimously approved the $111 billion merger of America Online and Time Warner. I remember that. Vividly, that big-time merger. In 2006, South Korea's Ban Ki-moon was sworn in as the 8th Secretary General of the United Nations. In 2008, an Iraqi journalist threw his shoes at President George W. Bush during a news conference in Baghdad. Bush was not here. What Bush did, that quick duckaroo, like, no, not today, brother, you're not getting me. Sending get well wishes to his father, who I had just seen on the news. They just said he should be home before Christmas. So sending much love to Daddy Bush. And also they're expecting a baby, right? Jenna Bush and her husband. Well, they announced recently that they are with child, so congratulations to them. So what a pretty neat Christmas present to share with all of us, and especially our family, that they are expecting. So that's pretty cool. It really is. So, wow. So I'm scanning down my I'm scanning through my emails, and there's an email. I hope it is interesting to share with you all. It's from youbeauty.com, which is Dr. Oz's website. And they're showing pictures and talking about how you can look at certain at parties and look festive without the frills. And oh, they're talking about like from nice looking sweaters from tacky. You know, beware ugly Christmas party attire. Like you can look festive, but try not to look tacky. You know. And I had seen a story recently. You all probably know the story that I'm talking about, where this guy he had started a website where he's selling like ugly sweaters for people who are going to like ugly sweater parties. So I'm like, wow. And it all started last year when he wanted to wear an ugly sweater and couldn't find one. Now he has ugly sweaters galore, and he's even selling the ugly sweaters. Sweaters. So, wow. That's something. It really is. So there is. Oh, and Susan Rice withdrew her name. Many of you know that already. And they're talking about John Kerry will more than likely be selected. So, wow. Okay. Okay. Yeah, I was just glad to do my email. Oh, here's a note from City of Jackson. City of Jackson business notes. This is from the mayor of Jackson, Mayor Harvey Johnson, Jr., and this is from December 13th. I'm compiling this important data to share with you regarding the City of Jackson, Jackson's business development efforts. Please let us know what other types of information you'd like to see, and please share with other citizens. So I'm sharing with you all right now regarding news of the city. I'm in the capital city of Mississippi in the Deep South. There was a groundbreaking held earlier this week for the Iron Horse Grill. Iron Horse Grill was once a very popular restaurant here. I used to like eating there. Mayor Harvey Johnson, Jr., the Simpson Group, and Capital Hotel Association and other local officials broke ground on the new Iron Horse Grill development on Monday, December the 10th. The Iron Horse Grill is set to return in 2013, and plans for the former popular eatery are bigger and better than before. The Iron Horse Grill will include a restaurant and live music venue inside of the 12,000-square-foot facility. The building will also house the Mississippi Music Experience, which is a collection of Mississippi Music Hall of Fame memorabilia collected by Dr. Jim Brewer, as well as a retail store featuring items from the Mississippi Blues Trail. This development means so much to the City of Jackson that Mayor Johnson, whom have not announced if he's running for re-election, but we all speculate that he will make an announcement soon. It provides a tremendous tie in between the core of downtown and projects west of the rail line extending to the campus of Jackson State University. The new development represents a total investment of $7.5 million. A total of 120 jobs are expected to be created. The Simpson Group anticipates at least $3 million in annual income once the restaurant opens, with the city gaining over $200,000 in tax revenue. The Jackson Redevelopment Authority, also known as JRA, provided a 2.5 urban renewal bond for the project. And then they're showing a picture of Mayor Johnson speaking from reporting. And then there's a new Wendy's open in Jackson. Well, really, it's the same location, but they knocked down our old Wendy's and built a new Wendy's. This Wendy's is in my neighborhood, not too far, you know. Those who frequently travel the Northside Drive area have a new fast food option to satisfy their hunger. Diners can try cool, frosty, and delicious Baconator at the new Wendy's restaurant located at 241 West Northside Drive. The restaurant is equipped with a brand new state-of-the-art kitchen and dining room. The new Wendy's represents an investment of $2.1 million, at least 50 new jobs will be created. This is the eighth Wendy's restaurant in Jackson for the Carlisle Corporation, a leading Wendy's franchisee company. The seven established Wendy's restaurants in Jackson generate around $10 million in sales and $700,000 in tax revenue for the city annually. Mayor Harvey Johnson Jr. presented owners Gene and Karen Carlisle with a certificate of appreciation for the continuous contribution to economic vitality of Jackson. The Carlisle Corporation also owns and operates another seven Wendy's restaurants in other parts of the metropolitan area. The 14 stores employ at least 600 crew members. Wendy's is the nation's third largest fast food chain. I've been an entrepreneur since forever, since I was in elementary school. But my first job was at Wendy's, where I worked for like 3 months, and then I began working for Merry-Go-Round. But Wendy's was a fun experience. I like Wendy's, and I still like to eat at Wendy's. K Courtyard Senior Apartments. A grand opening celebration was hosted for K Courtyard Senior Apartments on December the 4th at 1035 West May Street. The 13 million K Courtyard Senior Apartments development is already about 50% leased. The new 81-unit independent living luxury apartment complex for senior citizens was a welcome addition to the Vern Addition neighborhood. Senior residents have access to quality Class A features on site, such as a beauty parlor, library, fitness center, lounge, and a landscaped courtyard with picnic tables. The development was funded in part by a $500,000 affordable housing program, also known as the AHP grant from the Federal Home Loan Bank of Dallas, FHLB Dallas, and Trustmark National Bank. The apartment complex is open to people that are 62 years old or older who earn no more than $24,720 per year as an individual, $28,260 for couples, and $31.8 for a family of three. And under new management, the Metro Center Mall, a mall where I worked at Merry-Go-Round and loved to frequent, I was a mall brat. The Metro Center Mall has new momentum and energy thanks to the new management, the much-anticipated arrival of city staff, and, of course, Santa Claus. The resurgence began on November the 1st when Sister Companies Oversight LLC, a specialty management firm, and the Overbee Company, a residential and commercial realtor, took over as the mall's lead supervisor and facilitator. Overbee's principal broker, Scott Overbee, and his team brought in Oversight's David Sewell as the new operations manager for the Metro Center Mall with a new vision. But that's good. Revitalize the mall. We hope to repurpose the Metro Center Mall for multiple uses that are traditional and non-traditional that would meet the needs of citizens, said Overbee. We envision the future of the Metro Center Mall as a vibrant hybrid retail and community services location. Overbee said that the hope to attract more local and national retailers, as well as medical providers, insurance agents, financial planners, and possibly a grocery store to lease at the Metro Center. That would be very awesome. That's in West Jackson. He touted the mall's freshly clean, available turnkey spaces of up to 4,000 square feet and 7,000 parking spaces and new safety measures. The mall now has 24-hour security in addition to the Jackson Police Department's Precinct 2's location inside of the mall. Currently, there are 70 businesses operating in the Metro Center Mall, including Mississippi Highway Patrol, which draws 1,000 people monthly. Four new restaurants are expected to open inside the food court by the end of the year. That is awesome. It's been ages since I've been to the Metro Center Mall. But I wholeheartedly support this. It's so amazing. City of Jackson, Sears just left. Excuse me. City of Jackson employees from the Water Sewer Division, PEG, Human and Cultural Services, Personnel, Parks, and Recreation, and the Jackson Police Department's Precinct 2 have moved into their 60,000 square foot space in the former Belts location. The city's arrival brings between 200 and 300 employees to the Metro Center Mall and draws thousands of citizens out for routine water bill payments and other city business. On top of the mall's resurgence of hustle and bustle, this particular holiday season, the Metro Center has invited back St. Nick for the first time in 3 years. Now that Santa's back at the Metro Center Mall, that's a good sign. And in honor of his return, management's offering free photos with Santa every Saturday. That is awesome. Free photos with Santa every Saturday from 10 to 1 and Sunday from 1 to 6 p.m. until Christmas. I should go get a picture with Santa. Overby is excited about the future of the Metro Center Mall and is inviting business owners and occupants looking for an affordable, safe, clean space that can be accessed by motorists from any major highway or interstate, including Highway 80, Robinson Road, I-220, and I-20. To lease there, for more information, call the Overby Company at 601-366-8511. So if you're interested in leasing there, contact the Overby Company at 601-366-8511. So many of you, I know, you know, nationally and internationally want to know what's going on in the business world. So this is like some city news and business news that I'm sharing with you right quick. COJ Grantee Spotlight, Comer Capital Group. Comer Capital Group is an independent financial advisory firm providing a broad range of customized services to corporations and governmental entities, including counties, cities, transit authorities, port authorities, school districts, park districts, ambulance districts, and community colleges, fire protection districts, and library districts. The company is headquartered in Jackson, Mississippi, with locations in Montgomery, Alabama, Atlanta, Georgia, and Baton Rouge, Louisiana. In July 2012, Mayor Harvey Johnson Jr. executed a contract to award Comer Capital Group, LLC, an $8,000 Small Business Development Grant Program, SBDG, from the city. Owner Edward Norton Jr. received a matching grant for the purchase of technological equipment such as computers, printers, and copiers. Since 2009, over $800,000 has been awarded to local businesses through the city's SBDG program, which is Small Business Development Grant Program, Storefront Improvement Grant Program, and the Special Economic Development Grant Program. Over 700 jobs have been created and retained with the help of the city's funding. View of previous grantees here. Oh, I need your grant, most definitely. The City of Jackson's Office of Economic Development accepting applications for SBDG and SIG programs. To apply or for information, call 601-960-1100 or visit the Office of Economic Development at 200 South President Street. Office hours are Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Again, the City of Jackson's Office of Economic Development is accepting applications for SBDG, the Small Business Development Grant Program, and SIG programs. And to apply or for information, call 601-960-1100 or visit the Office of Economic Development at 200 South President Street. Office hours are Monday through Friday from 8 to 5. And there are some upcoming events coming up. Odin's Eye Care on December the 18th. A ribbon cutting is scheduled for 4:30 p.m. And that's on Tuesday, I believe. And open house is 4 to 6. And the address is 1461 Canton March Road, Suite A. And sincerely, Harvey Johnson. So that was City of Jackson business notes from the mayor of the City of Jackson, Harvey Johnson Jr. So some of you always want to know, like, what's going on in Jackson? What's going on? So that's some city news and some I know, and some business news. So, and you can visit visitjackson.com and go ahead and sign up there to receive information regarding Jackson news and also to order, like, a tourism guide or to check it out on the website. So since that email had just come to me, that's why I wanted to share it with you, because I know many of you want to know. Yeah, we got to talk about sports, but had to go ahead and share that info with you since I had literally just got that email. Honestly, well, I had just viewed it. I had just received it. It's a new email. I had just opened it up and read it straight to you. Yeah, most definitely. Got it overnight. Also, on Highland Village, I get, I think there's Highland Village here. Yeah, because there's Highland Village in Dallas, too. Highland Village, and that's the place where I've always wanted to open a boutique at. Highland Village, on Saturday, December 15th, Mississippi Community Clarinet Choir will perform from 10:30 to 11:30 at Highland Village. Don't forget to get an angel from their Angel Salvation Army Angel Tree. The deadline for gifts is today. And, yes, Salvation Army has been on the news this morning talking about today is the last day. So a big shout-out to those of you that have been so kind and giving and nice. I've been seeing so many of my real-life and online friends just doing their thing. Yesterday, Attorney Jay was posting pictures where he was doing things with toys for tots in Arlington and inviting everybody out. I thought that was so cool. And people have been doing so much for their favorite causes this time of year, and I think that's amazing. Is anybody in that Bah Humbug state of mind? It doesn't seem like it, you know? It seems like everybody is expressing how grateful they are for to celebrate this holiday season and to see the arrival of the new year. So we'll go ahead and begin talking more about sports. Talked a little bit about the Cowboys playing that big game with the Steelers at the Cowboys Stadium. And I was looking at the practice report on yesterday, and I know and kind of amazing. We had those Saints doing their thing. Wow. So all the teams are doing their thing. So I'm going to talk a little bit more about the coaches. I think Reggie Roughneck have called in. The few minutes that I have not been looking at the switchboard and reading City of Jackson news to you all, look like he has chimed in right quick. So that's pretty cool. Yeah, that's Reggie Roughneck. So just thank you so much again for calling in. Here's Merry Christmas by Michael Anthony.
Merry Christmas, how you been? Me, I'm doing fine, I'm still alive and kicking. After all of these years, the Christmas tree is lighting up the room, hung up the stockings. That day will be here soon. Need to wrap a few more presents and place them under the tree. Johnny's playing football. You ought to see him run. We watched him play just last Saturday. Man, they almost won. You'd be so proud of the man he's starting to become. And little Susie's quite the charmer. She always gets her way. Hard to tell her no sometimes when she looks at me that way. I'm wrapped around her finger like you always said I'd be. Sitting here feeling so blessed, but I can't lie to myself, it's you that I miss. It'll be a bittersweet day come Merry Christmas. I still recall that early Christmas morn. Kids were at the grandma's house, all snuggled up and warm. It was hard to see the road through all the falling snow. Then out of nowhere fast, I saw a big bright light. There was nothing I could do. There just wasn't any time. When I woke
woke up that evening, they told me you were gone. I cried so hard, oh, I cried for you. I cried for our children. It was all that I could do. Such a sad, sad day. On Merry Christmas.
Drafted eighth overall by the Houston Oilers.
his professional career began with the 1982 NFL draft. Mike Munchak was chosen as the Houston Oilers' first round draft pick, 8th overall, making him the first offensive lineman drafted that year. In his rookie season, he quickly earned a starting position at the left guard position. He remained in the position for 12 seasons. During that time, he garnered 9 Pro Bowl nominations, 4 All-Pro, 9 second-team All-Pro, 7 All-AFC, and 4 second-team All-Pro selections. In addition, he was selected for the 1980s All-Decade Team. Munchak's 12-year tenure tied for second most seasons played with the Houston Oilers. Coaching career, only 1 year after his retirement, Munchak joined the Houston Oilers staff in 1994 as an offensive assistant quality control. Here's another one that literally worked through the ranks of the NFL and through his respective franchise team of the Oilers and the Titans. In 1997, 3 seasons later, he was named offensive line coach, where he would remain for 14 seasons. Following former head coach Jeff Fisher's departure on February 7, 2011, Munchak was named head coach of the Titans. 2011 would mark his 30th season with the organization. 2011, they finished second in AFC, 2012 AFC South. Honors, Munchak was elected to the Pro Football Hall of Fame in 2001, along with Nick Buno and Nick Conte. Is that right, Red Ruff Nick? Jackie Slater, Lynn Swan, Ron Yeary, and Jack Gambler. The street in front of Scranton High School is named for Munchak. The United Way of Lackawanna County, Pennsylvania, has a charity golf tournament named after Munchak. Each year, the tournament is held the last week of June at Stonehenge Country Club in Tunkhannock, Pennsylvania. And he is current, again, he was selected 1982 NFL draft first round selection. 1988 AP NFL All-Pro team, 1991 AP NFL All-Pro, National Football League, NFL 1980s All-Decade team. And he was born in Scranton, Pennsylvania. And I'm not seeing his information regarding his if wife or kids or anything. I'm not seeing that information. But again, as a player, he worked for the Houston Oilers 1982 to 93. Then as a coach, been with them the entire time as a coach from 94 until present. Head coach, 9-time Pro Bowl selection, 84, 85, 87, 88, 89, 90, 91, 92, 93. 10-time All-Pro selection, 1983, 84, 85, 87, 88, 89, 90, 91, 92, 93. NFL's 1980s All-Decade Team, Ed Block Courage Award, 1990. Tennessee Titans retired number 63. Games played 159, and he started 156. He was a hard worker. And fumble recoveries 5. Wow. Very, very talented, very talented. I know the information regarding his personal life is up here, but I do not see it. So I guess unless he's saying none of y'all business. So I move on. But before the end of the show, we will also talk about Coach Sean Payton. I can't save it. I have been, you know, putting it off, but cannot save it. So we'll talk about Coach Payton, and also I don't think we've talked about the Indianapolis coach. We talk about him a lot, but I don't think I have profiled him just yet. But most definitely before the end of this broadcast, the next coach, I'll do my best to do at least 2 coaches if I can. So we'll spotlight Coach suspended Coach Sean, which we received some good news this week regarding the players that had been in trouble. Paul Tagliabue, I always loved him, even though I'm a big supporter of Goodall, which Reg and many others, you all took him in when you were referencing our good commish, NF commish, NFL commish. You know, you could tweet him at NFL, NFL commish. So, we're going to go ahead and talk to Reg Ruffneck after a couple of PSAs, and I'm going to make it my business to profile Coach Sean Payton. I had run across some notes, because you all know I've been researching him forever since they practiced here in Jackson. So I was studying to write about him to submit an article to Playgirl magazine regarding our entire team. And so I ran across some of my notes, and I'm like, I need to go ahead and start putting out talking about Coach. Hopefully he'll be a guest on the show real soon. But here's another one from L. DeBarge Jr. Who would be here tomorrow night? I keep saying I'm so excited because I am so excited. L. DeBarge Jr., who has recently released his debut album, Lion's Den. And you all call in and chat tomorrow night, 9 p.m. Central Standard Time, because it's going to be a fun, fun Saturday night party. You heard a good thing earlier, and here's live.
Thank you.
is on the what? I love it. Anybody who knows me knows how much I love 80s music. And if that is not an awesome cover of Sunglasses at Night, I don't know what is. Man, then she has like this Janis Joplin-type voice, and not to mention the music and the guitar lick. Oh, my God, I love it. And I've been networking with her for more than a year, like 2 years, and she's been like sending me music, and I love her music, but I just recently added her music to the playlist, and do you all not love it? Awesome. Last night, I played a live version of her singing Heard It Through the Grapevine. It's so awesome. Oh, my God. I mean, I got good chills going through my body listening to that.
At the American Lung Association, we're fighting for a day when we can all breathe easier. We're fighting for clear skies over every city and healthy lungs throughout the country. We're fighting to free millions of Americans from the addictive grip of tobacco and the devastating effects of lung disease. The American Lung Association isn't just fighting for air. We're fighting for all the things that make it worth breathing. And we can use your help. See what you can do at fightingforair.org.
Christmas is in the air. Since 1907, millions of Americans have decorated their holiday cards and packages with the American Lung Association's Christmas deals. Money raised through Christmas deals funds vital research and education in asthma, lung cancer, and other debilitating lung diseases. And it helps fund the fight to protect kids from tobacco and promote cleaner air all across America. Join us as America celebrates another year of Christmas deals. At ChristmasSeals.org, you can revisit 100 years of Christmas Seals designs and even email them to family and friends. But most importantly, you can order this year's seals and be a part of this life-saving holiday tradition. Celebrate another year with American Lung Association Christmas Seals at ChristmasSeals.org.
I am a face of influenza.
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 We all are faces of influenza.
I'm a mom. And I'm a face of influenza. Health officials now recommend
everyone
6 months of age and older get immunized against influenza this
and every year.
Vaccination is safe and is the best way to help protect yourself and your family from contracting and spreading the flu.
We all are faces of influenza.
See your healthcare provider about getting immunized. The American Lung Association urges everyone 6 months of age and older, and we mean everyone, to get vaccinated. Visit facesofinfluenza.org. Influenza is serious. So are we. Get vaccinated.
Ooh, exactly. I'm thinking about it. I'm doing my best to ward off the cold flu. Around this time last year, I was so sick with cold and flu, and it lasts forever. And there's a big epidemic going on. I know right here in the capital city of Jackson, to where hospitals, especially, say, Dominic, where I was born, they have literally hospital beds out in the hallway where the flu, influenza, is so bad. And my mother had a hack and cough, and We got that cough taken care of, and I've been doing my best to prevent getting any type of cold or flu. Every once in a while, a cough will happen or cold will happen, and I've been doing my best to keep it away. But mom's better, and even Red Roughneck said his mother had been feeling under the weather. So we had to, you know, drink plenty of water and healthy fluids, and that vegetable soup, I promise you vegetable soup works. even Tymoc, who you all can visit his blog site at I Am Tymoc. He was talking earlier this week, and I felt weird. He was giving good advice to me and others than myself, and I'm like, well, be sure to drink your HT2O and healthy fluids and eat plenty of veggie soup, you know, because it really works. And so we just have to do our best to take care of ourselves, and if you need to be, go get vaccinated. That's real important. So it's time to talk to Rich Roughneck. So I don't know what's on his mind. I don't know if he's going to talk about the Heisman Trophy winner, Johnny Heisman, or we're talking about last week we talked a lot about the Kansas City situation, and right, he's in Dallas where the the situation with the Cowboys. They're going through just a good thing right now. But then this happened regarding their two of their players. So I don't know if you want to talk about that or if you want to talk about Manny getting knocked out. Josh Hamilton is no more a Ranger. You know, he signed a big deal yesterday. We hadn't talked about him. It's a lot to talk about. So who knows? And like I said before, he has some news to share with us also regarding a story about him, which would be broadcast in the Dallas market on a local radio station, and which, you know, he'll tell us all about that so we all can tune in online. Those of us who's not in Dallas, we can listen to it online, listen to Red Drift Nick's story being broadcast and promoted on air live in Big D. So here he is, none other than the one and only Mr. Playboy Grandpa, Red Roughneck.
Oh, you got me good with that one.
You said it, but that's another.
Oh, you got me good on that one. You stole it. I'm sitting up there, you know, keying up and queuing in for you to hit at me, Playboy Grandpa. Okay. I needed that to say in the morning.
You're a proud Playboy and you're a proud Grandpa.
Well, we do what we do. You know, I have to give a credit to that to my millions and millions of Roughneck fans.
Yeah.
But I do have a special segment that's supposed to start Tuesday on KKDA Radio, Soul 73 AM in Dallas. It will be discussing the 3-year struggle I've had to deal with having two felony charges that was brought against me by the Dallas Police Department, that, you know, where it was wrongful arrest and wrongful charges. And it's a sad culture that goes on now, that, you know, when you have domestic problems with females and whatnot, instead of them just accepting the fact you're ready to move on, don't want to be bothered, they'll call the police and put a false charge on you. And, of course, the police is more than chivalrous enough to take whatever a woman says as being gospel. And a man has to go through the ridicule and the struggle and turmoil of trying to get these charges off of them. A lot of times, a lot of guys, just to try to, you know, move forward instead of being stuck, you know, being mired in anything and being on bond and whatnot, they'll take a plea bargain thinking that's going to resolve it. And then a lot of times courts offer what they call deferred adjudicated probation, where if they'll cut your deal, and if you don't get in any more trouble after a certain amount of time, whether it be a few years, a few months, that charge will be off your record. And what guys don't realize, you know, people, let me just not just say guys and try to just specify one particular gender, is that, you know, once you take that plea bargain, the charges do not go away, and they will follow you, and, you know, and they will haunt you. And, I mean, you can, it gets to a point you can't apply for a job, can't get on certain grants, programs, you know, can't qualify for moving into an apartment or a house, because these things still follow you, and the only way they want is if you have to turn around and pay an attorney a certain amount of money to get the charges expunged. And even then, sometimes that doesn't become adequate. And then, you know, but when going through it, even when the charges are trending, when they don't even know if the outcome is going to be that they will that it can deny you trying to find a job, because it has done me numerous times. I've been sent to numerous jobs over the past few years and wasn't able to get the job because while I was on bond, you know, waiting for these cases to be resolved, I was being denied. and
mm-hmm. and being labeled
anywhere.
And being labeled
right.
as something that you weren't.
Exactly. I mean, it's pretty horrendous trying to go to a job, and then you have a deadly conduct case that's been hanging over your head. And then
mm-hmm.
the next case would be a injury to a child. I mean, who's going to hire somebody? Because I know if I was going through applications and you hire somebody who has this on their record, whether they were convicted or not, it makes you back away from that person, makes you want to delete that person off the file.
It's good you talk about that. On Monday, my topic on Monday was the topic of blacklisting and blackballing. And so you're talking about a whole nother area where they're similar to being blacklisted and blackballing, when people
exactly.
see something. Yeah. Okay. What time can we catch you? Because I'm posting it now on my Facebook page. You know?
The show will air at 6 a.m. Monday. You know, I will be there.
Yeah.
You know, depending
Monday
on the response to the show. But that's right. Tuesday. Tuesday the 18th.
Okay.
I'm about to mess up my own segment. Gosh.
Okay. Now we want to get it right because listeners worldwide will be listening online.
Right.
Those it's not in Dallas.
Right.
Okay.
Right. Soul 73 KKDA, which is 7:30 on your AM dial. You know, I have that link,
but I'm writing in what your topic would be about and what time it's going to be.
Right. The topic would be about is what we're calling malicious prosecution.
Because I'm getting ready to post it, and I have Catch Reggie Ruffin at KKDA on Tuesday morning discussing legal situations he has struggled with in the past few years. And then the time would be at
6 a.m.
Okay, 6 a.m. Okay.
And they'll probably be re-airing it again at 7 a.m. But, I mean, depending on what the response is going to be, it may turn into a longer topic for the day.
You're going to be live in the studio? You're going to be live in the studio
right.
or it's going to be an interview?
No, I'll be live with Willis Johnson.
Okay, Catch Reggie Ruffin live in, because I'm posting this right now, live in the studio with Willis.
Right, Willis Johnson. At Soul 73 KKDA Radio.
Okay, I got that. Now, that's one of the owners, right? The gentleman owner.
Come on, you could call him the owner because, I mean, he's been there a good 30 years at least.
Yeah, because the lady that run it, I said, isn't her last name Johnson?
Iola Johnson. I don't think they're related, but... But it might be another Johnson. I know Iola Johnson usually does the news, and she's been a long time. She's been
so
a long time from the
journalist. That's how long I've been a fan of that station too. Ever since I was a little girl going to Dallas for preteen. Because when you say KKDI, DA, you got my attention, baby. I'm like, that's cool. So I'm putting it. It's out there. I got it on Twitter now, so I'm putting it on my Facebook page now. So it's probably going
right.
to post
right.
on
one,
your page. Okay,
one
I just want everybody to know.
What's going on now is that I'm sorry, I didn't mean to talk over you.
No, I just want to make sure that everyone has the proper information so we can be tuned in and don't miss your show.
One of the main topics we're doing right now is the fact that I have sued the Dallas Police Department for the negligence they committed in both the investigations they had against me, because it was just witch hunt type of allegations made against me. And I'm looking for anyone who has been through this particular situation, who has been accused of horrendous crimes and have been forced to try to take a plea bargain to try to keep it off their record, but it winds up still being on there. And I'm also looking for people who just pretty much have been picked on or picked apart by the official misconduct and I'm filing a lawsuit with the police department, but I've been encouraged by my attorney to make it a class action suit. So I'm looking for
My attorney's listening too. Hi, attorney.
Right.
Dave.
Well.
And it was.
Well, hey. That's great. I'm looking for as many people. I mean, if it's 50, 5, 100 cars, I mean. I'm looking at trying to file a class action suit to try to stop this type of this way of investigating and solving cases. Because in my case, the woman who made the allegation against me had numerous felonies on her record,
and they took her word. And she was a former love interest, right?
Somewhat of an interest. I mean, we were friends. We never did anything past
we're
that.
We're talking
but.
About what? We're talking about, okay, so you're not talking about the case about the regarding the kid?
No, not this time.
Okay,
the one regarding the kid, that was a case of the girlfriend who I was with when I was going through the criminal case with in the shooting. She took it upon herself to use the fact that I had just got that case off my back and turned around and filed another case against me when I spanked her child for almost injuring another child with a knife.
I might know what you're talking about, but the listeners want to, understand and know what you're talking about.
right. And instead of them coming to me or discussing this matter with me like they're supposed to, and, they went on and filed an injury to a child case even though the child didn't have no injuries on them. If you file an injury to a child case, you have to take a child to a hospital and have the child examined by a physician or get a physician's statement. They did none of these things, and they just basically convicted me without even a trial to put a fair doubt. And, and that was during a time when I was just trying to reapply for jobs that I had been denied it before. And, even though you go up there showing them the disposition letter, showing that you have been acquitted, and just early this past summer, I reapplied to Union Pacific Rail Yard and was summarily dismissed because when they did another follow-up case, they said that the case that was dismissed in 2010 was on warrant. And, they didn't update the information, which, caused great deal of concern. When you're working at the Union Pacific Railroad, that's Homeland Security territory. So they're thinking they have a man on the run from the police working for them. So they hurried up and got me up out of there. But it's a very frustrating situation, and it definitely has been that for me. And it just doesn't do good that you're being, blacklisted, blackballed, or labeled as something that you're not.
Mm-hmm.
And, so that's what we're going to mainly talk about, and we're just going to try to educate the community on what it is they can and cannot do.
And you're calling all citizens, males and females, who feel like they have been treated wrongly also.
Exactly.
Okay.
Right, because there's a lot. I mean, they're pretty much being disingenuous and misrepresenting what they're claiming they're doing. They call themselves trying to give you a second chance when actually they're just giving you an opportunity to say we solved another crime. Because the police in general, all they care about is getting arrested and getting and trying to get convictions. And then the prosecutors, all they try to do is win cases.
I thought the motto was to protect and serve, Reg.
They protecting and serving, but they protecting and serving their own interests, though.
Oh, okay.
So, right. But yeah, I thought it was protective service. I mean, just because she called 911 first, they're gonna take her word over mine. And when I showed them the evidence that, you know, my life had been threatened, you know, because she had called my phone making several terroristic threats, you know, I took it upon myself to, when she came to the house, standing outside of the house with a gun, I had mine. Mine was bigger and mine was loaded. She's out here threatening me with a paintball gun. I mean, I don't believe in bringing a paintball gun to a shotgun fight.
Oh, my God.
But in spite, you know, but like I said, but this woman here, that, you know, in that instance, she was very disturbed. And like I said, she had numerous prior cases on her, and they never charged her with anything. In spite of the fact she came over to my house threatening me, and she brought a 13-year-old child to the house that had the gun. And you know, and the fact that they knew what was going on with her, instead of them going after her, they went after me. I feel like you're gonna take me to jail. They should have took her to jail too. Because if they had took her to jail, that would have been strike three. So yes, it's a sad commentary on our society that people take personal matters to that type of issue and that type of level. But to talk about some of the other things that's going on in Dallas, I'm sure as everyone's well aware of the tragic accident.
Okay, before we move on, I want to repeat it again. KKDA, Tuesday morning, 6 a.m. They're probably re-aired depending on the response because you might still be on live at 7.
Exactly.
You said it's called, what is that called?
Soul 73, KKDA Radio. Will Johnson.
The topic, the treatment that
topic
you said.
Is going to be about malicious prosecution.
Malicious prosecution is the topic. And so Reg Roughneck will be discussing the legal situations that he has been struggling with the past few years. And he just want to hear from others also whom have experienced similar or the same type of situations that he's been through also. So and those of you that are interested and just want to hear more and also want to support Reg Roughneck, tune in because we can listen online, those of you that of us that cannot actually listen from the radio, we can listen online. I've posted the link on Twitter and on Facebook where you can easily just link in on and then we can listen to him and support him also. Okay, yes, we want to know what else is on your mind. Can I share an article right quick about the Heisman Trophy winner? Because I know we're going to talk about those Cowboys.
Sure.
I know we're going to talk about those Cowboys like in Saints. So here's an article from KBTX.com, and they talk about how the Saints celebrate with the Heisman Trophy winner on yesterday, Johnny Manziel. Is that how you pronounce his name? Fans finally got the chance to hear from Texas A&M quarterback Johnny Manziel. I'm Johnny Football. Nice Johnny Heisman, huh? Johnny Manziel. I love his pictures. I love his pictures with he and his girlfriend and his Heisman trophy. Johnny Manziel in Aggie land for the first time since he won the Heisman Trophy. This was on yesterday. Thousands of people came to attend the event calling, celebrating the 12th man on Texas A&M campus. I've told him, thank you. You have been an extraordinary young man, a leader for our team, a leader for our school. We appreciate all that you have put out for Texas A&M, said Dr. R. Bowen Lofton. Fans couldn't agree more. A hot item at the event was Johnny Heisman posters. They are a replica of ads placed in New York Times and USA Today the day after Johnny won the Heisman. Thousands of them were handed out. Steve Kim took one for himself after making sure he took off work to be at the event. I figured I would be here and participate in a whole fun and celebration. It is fantastic for A&M, said Kim. Teddy Rocket said perfect. It couldn't have been any better. The players are so humble about it. That's what makes it so great. They really appreciate it. You can tell they are just like, wow. And that's my word, wow. But Donald Davis, the event was extra special. His Aggie father was in school when John David Crow won his Heisman in 57. He passed away in April. He has the same birthday as Johnny. So those kind of things so make it extra special, said Davis. No doubt it was also a special moment for Manziel and his Aggie family. So congratulations to Johnny Football, well, now known as Johnny Heisman, regarding winning the Heisman Trophy, the first freshman ever to do such a thing. Okay.
And congratulations to him, because that's a heck of an accomplishment he made.
Oh, yeah, most definitely. Most definitely.
I wonder what he's going to do with all these names he have. I mean, he's racking up a whole lot of names, and he has caught the ire of some of my other friends, like Conte Jones, who went to the University of Oklahoma. You know, Texas A&M and Oklahoma is going to play in the Cotton Bowl, and I cannot wait to see that game.
Uh-huh.
That's going to be a good game, and, you know, now that Johnny Manziel graduated to legendary coach status, now he's got a bigger target on his back.
Do you think he's going to stay in school till graduation, or you think he's probably going to leave at his junior year? Go pro.
That's a good question. It's almost as if the only thing he has to try to accomplish now is to try to win a national title, and it's possible that they could win one. The Aggies had an excellent season this year, especially considering they're going to transition to the SEC. And, you know, they're playing with the big dogs, and they showed they can run and bark with them. So, this, you know, the sky's the limit now for Johnny Manziel. It's sure, it's amazing how a year has changed for him. I mean, going from being a top prep recruit to being a freshman, and then a freshman starter, and now Heisman Trophy winner. I mean, that's an impressive resume to compile in a short period of time.
Yeah, because I hear some of national sportscasters and news people say he really is the real Friday Night Lights type of person. Straight from high school to college, and just so successful. The real Friday Night Lights. Small town. Yeah.
Yeah, pride of joy, Kerrville, Texas. Yeah, I can almost hear Keith Jackson saying that right now. The pride and joy of Kerrville, Texas. Johnny Manziel, Johnny Football. I was very happy for him when he won. Yeah, so I'm sure you just did a backflip when you heard about the about Paul Tagliabue vacating the suspensions and everything.
I heard, to be honest, you were the first to break the news to me. I was in the middle of something. I was eating lunch, and I looked down, and you, I don't know if you text messaged me first, but I know you posted on my Facebook page. And
ooh,
I was like,
were you
whoa.
In public when this happened?
And then I was like, whoa. I was like, man, cool. And then I saw my emails and stuff, but I heard from you first regarding the good news, and I was like, wow.
Well, I was I was very happy that it finally got a resolution, but you know.
But then you got me when I said, have mercy on my coach, on Coach Sean, and you were like, oh, nah, that's a whole nother story.
No, they wasn't going to go that far with it. They weren't going to be that generous about it, and I guess the reason being is the fact that with Sean Payton basically being the boss of, you know, the other, you know, like Greg Williams, Joe Vitt, and Mike Cirillo, they felt like Payton should have had a lid on the situation and should have been able to stop whatever happened from happening. And whether that's good, bad, or what, as they say about accountability, it starts at the top. And with Sean Payton being the head coach, he's unfortunately caught in flames and burned. And I really underestimated and undervalued how important it is having a coach out there on the sidelines, but he definitely was missed this year. He was truly missed.
Oh, he most definitely
and,
yes.
I mean, I mean, along with you, I had the Saints going back to the Super Bowl this year, and this whole situation just really unraveled. And it really gutted the team and undermined the team's continuity. And I mean, they were just out there basically without an identity. It was a dysfunctional mess the whole year. But if you can take, I mean, I guess you could take what happened in a whole lot of ways. But one of the things to me, it just says that, you know, in the end, you know, just like in my situation, because, you know, Jonathan Vilma did something that was considered insane, unpopular, or just, you know, just really contrary. He went against the authority, and he sued Commissioner Goodell, sued the NFL for defamation of character, which is exactly what I'm doing now with the Dallas Police Department. And he's making them and holding them accountable for what they for how they ruined his reputation.
Exactly.
So I have to give Jonathan Vilma a lot of props for standing up for himself, because nobody else was. And for him standing up for himself, that was part of the impetus that made the NFL rethink their action and made them rescind these punishments, because these players were just, like, they was expendable in that situation. And, you know, as I have spoken to you numerous times, that, you know, this bounty program, as they wanted to call it, it wasn't a bounty. I mean, it's just like getting a couple extra slices after a game for making a great play. Part of football is hitting each other. You know, that's, football is nothing but organized violence. That's basically what football is, if you just want to, you know, get to the crux of it. I mean, people go out here and pay good money to see some good violence.
But one of my favorite players, the one that recently retired, Chris, or what's the player name that's real open about talking about his years playing, and he would hear about bounties being put on his head, and he said that his team
Chris
would.
Carter.
Yeah, I love Chris Carter. And Chris Carter,
right.
I love his perspective regarding bounty, because he said they would hear about the bounties put out on him, and he said his team would protect him. You know,
that was like a game. That's a game within a game.
Only been an NFL player, but being a husband and a father too. You know,
right?
Yeah. So
like
he's one player.
I mean, that was part of the game. You know,
very
a couple of guys be talking amongst themselves when they're in between plays. Talking about, hey, watch out! You know, watch out, 81. Watch out, 80. We're gonna get you. We're gonna get you. Or you know, they take things before the game about who they gonna get. And then, Chris Carter was telling his lineman or a couple of fullbacks, hey, get that guy for me. You know, when he was talking about Bill Romanowski, he said, hey, that guy said he's going to break my leg. So take care of him, keep him off of me. And that was part of the game, whether you knew it or not. But that's behind the scenes part of the game. These guys take great pride in what they do because it's entertainment. I mean, that's exactly what football is.
It's serious business. Look at our guy Mike Vick. He's been out of commission since he played the Cowboys 3-4 weeks ago. So it's serious business,
well,
you know.
It would be nice to say.
What you say, though, that's what football is all about, rough play.
Right.
We don't want to go watching flag football and touch football.
Right. I mean, that's what they're turning the NFL into, is touch football. That was one of the things Jimmy Smith was talking about. He said, they were playing like that when he was playing. He's still playing now. You know, but he said, heck, he can go out there, you know, he can lose about 10, 15 pounds, go out there. All he got to do is run and catch the ball. He ain't got to worry about nobody blasting him on them slant routes. It's like, hey, I mean, and it has gotten really ridiculous. Drew Brees made a point yesterday that Commissioner Goodell has little or no credibility with the NFL as far as the players. And, you know, this is Goodell's seventh year being the commissioner. And I guess a lot of people are taking.
When Drew says something like that, that says a lot.
Right. It definitely. I mean, he has been very vocal about his contempt for commissioner, as I call him, Goodell. So, he's done more harm than good as far as the game is concerned. And it's going to come to a point where when the commissioner's contract is up, that may have to be evaluated. Don't be surprised that the plug gets pulled on the commissioner and they have to get a new commissioner. Now, it's really up to Commissioner Goodell how he wants to continue, you know, while he's trying to implement all these other new ideas about adding more games to the schedule, adding more teams into the playoffs. I mean, I like some of his intent of what he's trying to do, but the way he's going at it is totally wrong. You know, just like that, like that fine they levied on Ed Reed a few weeks ago. I mean, when you're throwing the ball to a receiver, the safety or the cornerback's job is to make sure that catch doesn't happen. Sometimes to make the guy drop the ball, you have to put a good lick on him. That's part of the game, and it's always been part of the game.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's definitely beginning to affect everyone, the fact that, hey, when I run in here, I got to try to pull back on hitting this guy, and he's going to wind up making a first down. It's making it too easy. I mean, being a defensive player has got to be extremely frustrating right now. You know, because, I mean, you have to be cognizant of too many things while you're out there playing at the speed that they're playing at. You know, everything is about act and react. But if you got to act, react, and think while you're reacting, you know, you're subjecting defensive players to being injured now. More so than you are offensive players. So it's a lot of things they're going to have to reevaluate. So I guess as they always say, stay tuned, sports fans, we'll see what happens next.
Stay tuned. That's right.
But they had the memorial service for Jerry Brown Jr. Tuesday, and defensive tackle Josh Brett, who was driving the car, during that accident, the Brown family made a beautiful, loving gesture to Mr. Brent, and they invited him to sit with the family, and they are really showing no ill will toward him, and they're not being very judgmental, and they're not blaming him for what happened, you know. It's just a sad, tragic accident that occurred.
I see where he attended the memorial.
And, I just think it's a great attitude that the family is showing. I mean, I realize everybody wouldn't be as forthright or as forgiving, but, you know, you have to look at this for what it's worth. And I think that's definitely going to help Josh out as far as where he's going to go from here on out, as far as, you know, helping him try to recover from, you know, what is a very traumatic incident for him to have to deal with. You know, and I think that's definitely going to carry as far as what's going to happen for him in the future, because the Cowboys have already put him on the disabled list, non-football injury list, for the rest of the season, and his status as far as the roster spot with the team still remains uncertain right now. But on a legal standpoint, you know, the fact that he already had been convicted of a DUI back in 2008 when he was in college.
Yeah, I saw that. He disappeared in 2009.
Right.
Yeah.
It could weigh heavily on what they decide. But if the family posts a non-prosecutorial waiver, basically saying that they do not want to prosecute, this case pretty much not going to have much leg to stand on. You know, even if the state wants to try to pick up the charges, you know, it's going to be a little disingenuous if the family does not want to pursue any punishment. You know, I'm sure they're going to want.
The mother said she's not mad at him and that they were best friends, you know, and how they went to school together and been best friends. And I know reporters have kept hammering him, asking him questions on one news broadcast, and he said, "I am trying to grasp the fact that my friend is dead." You know, that, you know,
exactly.
I can't be asking questions. You know, he said, "I'm trying to deal with my best friend's death." And but what about the young the people who said that he that their stories conflict the police stories? There's this one lady, I think her name is Stephanie McWilliams or something like that. She said that
he
want to pull his friend out of the car.
You know, like, you know, people say
but
a lot.
But then, you know, think about it. If he was, what, 0.18, he was intoxicated. He wasn't thinking straight anyway.
Well, you got to understand something. I mean, this guy's 6'5", 6'6", 200, probably 295 almost. I think they said he's probably 320 or something like that as far as his weight. So it'll take a lot of alcohol to get a person to the point where he's not in control of his physical or mental faculties.
Uh-huh.
I mean, alcohol has a different result for certain people. I mean, regardless of size. I know big guys who couldn't take three drinks, and they wouldn't be right. Then I know, like, I got female cousins that could drink 10 drinks, and, you know, and it'd be just like drinking water for them.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I mean, that's just one of the mysterious things about alcohol and how it affects people's body chemistry. Everybody can't handle what other people can. So that's why, for legal purposes, they just set a certain standard as far as for everybody, as far as blood alcohol content and how you define legally drunk. I mean, because Josh Brent was probably legally drunk, but as far as physically,
I just thought about that right quick when the lady, she said that he was like, she had to keep repeating to him, "Get him out the car, get him out the car," you know? And she said, "I kept having to repeat it over and over to him." So I was just trying to come up with a reason why he might have been slow about getting him out the car.
The argument at the time was whether or not Jerry Brown was already deceased or not, or was it, you know, I mean, I also heard reports that he did pull him out the car and was holding him on the side of the road. I mean,
that police officer, he kept saying, well, when he pulled up, he was pulling him out the car. But, you know, these passerbyers, they saw the wreck when it happened, you know.
Right, because it's supposed to, I mean, it happened on the service road on top of the freeway. So, it's, you know, like I said, when you get that eyewitness testimony at that time, I mean, eyewitness testimony can be very unreliable at times. And then, of course, you have people that want to go after someone like that because they have a little personal jealousy because the person's making a lot of money. He's a high-profile type of celebrity. So, you know, it happens quite often.
Well,
you know, not just in this case, but in a lot of other cases.
With him being in trouble in the past before, you would think he would have been careful, too.
Well, yes. I mean, it's easy to say that. I mean, because I mean, I care for the fact.
You know, I'm a person. I come from a family with alcoholics and people that like to drink. I started drinking at age 7, and if you remember, I used to drink heavily. But one thing about it, I never got behind the wheel and drunk. I always stayed put or had someone to drive my car or drive me home.
That's true, but then when you're dealing with a couple of guys that you know, when you're a football player, you're young and you're 25, you feel a sense of invincibility, like you feel like you're untouchable. And I mean, I'm not making excuses.
Yeah,
I'm just basically trying to rationalize the behavior.
Because Attorney Jay said on his Facebook page that if he was